Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today, in honor of Lincoln's birthday, we present The White Circus Horse by Morton Wishengrad, an adaptation of the story by Paul Marcus.
Thing, isn't it? Every day you grow older, and every day you move one day further away from your childhood. But you never really move away. Wherever you go, your childhood goes along right with you. It never leaves you. It's always there, standing behind a curtain. Like now, as if my brother Billy is still 7 years old and calling to me from the house. I remember how Pa would wave to us from the field, to Ma and Billy and me and Grandpa. Grandpa was a veterinarian. He was pretty old, but there was nothing quavery about him.
Billy, mind how you handle that cow.
I can milk her, Grandpa.
I guess you can, Billy, but there's ways of milking.
I got good, strong hands.
Well, that ain't enough, boy. You got to learn how to be strong without hurting.
Yes, Grandpa.
Farming is mean work, but having Grandpa around made things right. The house was right, and the barn was right, and the brook that ran across our land. When chores were done, Billy and I climbed the back of the old mule. We would just sit on that old mule, jogging up and down the field. And suddenly Billy would speak up.
Rose, this here ain't a mule.
Sure looks like a mule.
Don't even look like a mule.
Got long ears like a mule.
Rose, this is a racing horse.
Got mighty long ears for a racing horse.
If you don't like Windstream, get down off his back.
Windstream? Oh, I'm sorry. Don't cry, Billy.
I ain't crying.
Billy, what's the good of pretending he's a racehorse? He's only a mule. Billy, don't cry.
Did was dream about horses. I remember the day some people put up a big poster on the barn. A big red circus poster with a white horse on it that was chunky, but not fat or too big. Just strong looking. His nostrils stood out and his eyes were a little bloodshot. And he had the look of a boy let out of school. Billy stood there looking at the picture. He couldn't get enough of it.
That's the horse you've been dreaming about, Billy, isn't it?
That's him, Grandpa. Mm.
Well, the circus came to town, but we were too poor to go.
I guess it's better to ride an old mule you have than a white circus horse you don't have. Come on, Billy, I'll catch the mule for you.
So we went out to the pasture to catch the mule. But what do you think? When we got to the pasture, the mule wasn't there. The mule was gone, and we ran to Pa.
Mule ain't stolen. Hold this post, Billy. Make yourself useful.
Yes, Pa, but if he ain't stolen,
keep your hands down. Way down, Billy.
Then what happened to
him? Hold your head back. The sledgehammer's a deal harder than your head.
Yes, Pa, but where's
Grandpa the... took him.
Where?
Your grandpa took him to go into town. The circus called him. They got a sick horse.
Was it a white horse?
Well, they didn't say. Just a sick horse. Hold the post, Billy.
Yes, Pa.
After supper, Billy and I went to the gate. We lay down there in the grass until the sky was streaked with red. I don't know how long we waited for Grandpa to come home. When it was dark, Pa came out with some blankets.
Your Ma says to wrap yourself up. It's chilly with the dew on the grass.
He didn't scold us or anything. He sat there and waited for us. And then we saw Grandpa. Grandpa was riding the old mule. And behind Grandpa was a white horse. We waited at the gate, the three of us. Nobody said a word. But when Grandpa turned down the lane toward the barn, we walked alongside, looking at the white horse. He didn't look much like Billy's white circus horse. His head hung down. When Pa lit the lantern, we could see that his coat was matted with dirt and that his eyes looked dull and stupid.
No, a circus man gave it to him. I told him the horse would most likely die, but that maybe I could cure him in 6 months.
And why'd he give him to you?
Well, the man said that he couldn't feed and care for a sick horse for a half a year. Said it didn't pay. He didn't have the heart to shoot him, so he gave him to me.
Grandpa, Is he going to die?
I'll doctor him the best I know how. He'll go to sleep. I'll stay up with him.
Is he going to die?
I don't know, Billy. I'm a horse doctor. You better ask the Lord.
When the horse was led into the second stall, he folded his legs slowly and lay down with a sigh on the fresh straw. Then he sighed again. Grandpa shook his head. It wasn't much of a sign, but I saw it. We went into the house, and we all sat around and watched Grandpa while he ate his supper.
I'm too tired to talk. Go to bed, children.
After Billy and I got into our beds, we heard Grandpa go back into the barn.
Rose, Grandpa's going to stay with him all night. It's bad. If Grandpa's going to do that, it's bad.
Billy said a prayer. I said one, too. As soon as we woke, we ran to the barn. Grandpa was sitting there in the straw with the horse's head in his lap. He had stayed there all night. The white horse was sucking his breath in with big gulps.
Well, if he isn't any better, it's something that he isn't any worse. Billy, I'm going to get some sleep. You stay with him.
Yes, Grandpa.
You and Rose rub his legs. If you feel his legs get warm, I just bandage them. Bandage them from his hoofs right down to his hocks. If his legs don't get warm, I rub him this dry mustard.
Billy and me can do that, Grandpa.
I'm too tired to stay up any longer, and your pa has to work in the field. It's a big responsibility for you both.
Can we give him anything?
Well, try to get some water into him. See that it's cool and that it's fresh. Give him all that he'll take, but don't force him. If anything happens, well, you wake me right away.
What can happen, Grandpa?
He can die. You'd better know that.
Billy and I held our breath. But this wasn't just a white horse that was sick. This was everything fine in the world that Billy had dreamt up for himself. We rubbed the cold legs of the white horse. He was so cold, but his body was bathed with sweat. His flanks heaved, and his breathing became heavier. It was hard not to run and wake up Grandpa. Grandpa came out in 2 hours, but it seemed a long time. He studied the white horse for a minute. Then he put his ear to the horse's heart and listened.
Is he worse, Grandpa?
Grandpa didn't answer. He put his hand near the horse's nostril and felt the hot breath.
Mm-hmm. Fever. Billy?
Yes, Grandpa.
You find your pa and tell him I need him, quick. Rose, you tell your ma to boil water. Tell her to use every kettle and pot in the kitchen.
All right.
Wait.
Yes, Grandpa?
Bring some blankets. Not cotton, woolen blankets. Bring as many as you can carry. On top of everything else, it's pneumonia now. Don't tell Billy.
Grandpa and Pa, Ma and Billy and me, we didn't leave the stable that day.
Don't shut those doors. He's got to have air.
Pa put a big wooden tub on the center of the floor, and he and Grandpa poured buckets of hot water into it.
This is what we'll do. We'll soak a blanket in the water, and then your pa and I'll wring it out, and we'll wrap it around his chest.
They did it that whole day and part of the night, soaking the woolen blankets in the hot water, wring it out, wrapping it around the horse's chest.
No, don't let it sag. Fit it snugly. I don't want any air between the blanket and his skin. That's good. Now, Rose and Billy, you cover him with a dry blanket, quick.
We changed the hot blankets every half hour. Then towards noon, Pa rubbed him down with alcohol while Grandpa put some hay in a bucket and poured boiling water over it.
Billy, I expect you didn't think that we could make tea from hay.
He's going to get well, isn't he, Grandpa?
Why, sure. We let the tea cool, and then we strain it and give it to him. If he'll take it, it may give him an appetite.
He's going to get well, isn't he, Grandpa?
I just said so, didn't I?
I know,
Oh,
but...
don't mope, boy. Don't mope. Either work for him or pray for him, but don't mope.
Midnight, Grandpa broke some fresh eggs into a quart of milk. He stirred it until it all became a golden yellow color.
Some sick horses will drink milk. We'll see.
The sick horse raised his big white head. Grandpa held the milk up to him.
Of course he's drinking it. Of course.
Billy began to cry. Grandpa fed that horse as though he was a baby. Milk the first 2 days, then bread and corn on the cob, and carrots and apples.
Billy, you hold his head up. Don't be afraid. I'm going to drench him.
Maybe the white horse knew that the medicine would make him well. He didn't fuss. He just let Billy hold his head up, and he took the medicine without complaint.
See that the blankets cover him, but don't close any doors or windows. He's got to have air.
I'll stay with him, Grandpa. I'll make sure.
Billy, he's just a white horse, nothing but skin and bone.
Yes, Grandpa.
It's good to love him, but he ain't your pa or your ma or your sister Rose. He's just a white horse.
Yes, Grandpa.
Now you go ahead and get some sleep.
Let me sleep here, Grandpa. please, let me sleep here. Please.
Don't love him that much, Billy. It ain't good.
Please, Grandpa. Can I?
All right, Billy. You can sleep here.
Grandpa was very careful, and it was nearly 2 weeks before Grandpa said,
"Well, I guess that white horse is going to live."
After a month, Grandpa led the white horse out to pasture. But he was a pretty sad-looking creature. He trembled a little in the warm sunshine, and he seemed too tired to stand. But Grandpa just smiled.
"He'll do. Just wait and see."
By now, our sugar beets had to be harvested, and there was no time to lose from the fields. But Billy would sneak off to the pasture a couple of times a day.
"He's nibbling a little grass."
Or else Billy would say,
"He's drinking from the brook."
As the weeks went by, his ribs filled out, and his coat became glossy. The white horse held his head higher and higher, and his eyes began to brighten. One day, Billy and I and Grandpa just went out to watch him. We lay down in the grass and watched him eat. And while we were watching, a horsefly came up and bit him on the horn.
"Grandpa, look! He's running!"
He went galloping across the pasture, his tail streaming out, and his eyes had the look of a boy let out of school.
"Grandpa, it's him! I always knew it! It's him! The white circus horse that's on the poster!" "Didn't you? You knew me just like I knew you."
Billy, what are you doing?"
My brother Billy climbed up and sat on the white circus horse. And it wasn't a horse. It was Billy's prayer. A prayer of hope and faith and justice.
"Rose?"
"Yes, Grandpa?"
"The Lord has made a covenant for us with the beasts of the field."
Everybody smiled at supper. There was a good feeling at the table.
Children, tomorrow we'll hitch him up to the buggy and drive to town."
"Can I come too?"
"Well, no, Billy, not tomorrow. Your pa and I will take him. We don't know how he'll drive, but if he behaves well, we'll all go day after tomorrow."
If Grandpa weren't the best and the wisest horse doctor in the whole South, Billy might have cried. But Grandpa knew best. I've lived half my life and more, but I'll never see a sight more beautiful than the white circus horse that next day, going down the lane and disappearing down the road. We stood there and we watched him until there was only dust to see. And the minute he was gone, we almost stopped believing in him, because he was too wonderful a thing to happen to poor people like us. Billy was the first to see them coming back. But when they drove up, all the talk and laughing stopped. Father climbed down, and then Grandpa climbed down. And we knew something was wrong. They unhitched him and took him to the stable. And we watched them wash for supper and sit down and not say a word for a long time.
"He drove fine, Billy."
"Grandpa?"
"He's a very gentle horse."
"Except when he has to pass. When he comes up behind another horse, he's got to pass. He can't be held."
"He didn't run away, did he, Pa?"
"No, he ain't a runaway. It's just, well, I guess the circus trained him to pass any horse he comes near. And he's bound to do it."
"Whom did he pass, Grandpa?"
"Well, he passed Dr. Wilkinson and Judge Glass. They smiled and waved a hand to us. We passed that Joe Kirby, too."
"He didn't smile. He didn't wave, either."
I guess Billy understood then. Grandpa looked very tired that night. We were all very quiet and frightened. Billy said his prayers extra long, and he had said amen twice at the end. Well, after that, Pa and Grandpa didn't know what to do. They didn't want to drive that beautiful white circus horse to town again, because it was too dangerous for us all. But Pa hated not to drive him.
I just don't know what to do.
The white horse ate grass in the meadow and drank water from the brook and just galloped back and forth.
Rose, look at the way his white tail streams out.
It was on Saturday that they tried it again. They drove him to town. When they got home, the white horse was dirty and covered with sweat. Grandpa and Billy rubbed him down and curried him, and then they left him in his stall. Pa didn't say much, but it was enough.
I couldn't hold him back. We passed that curvy man again. We passed that curvy man and two other white folks I didn't know.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. Nothing. Nothing at all. Go to sleep, Billy.
We'll give him some carrots in the morning. He likes carrots.
Yes, Billy, we'll give him some carrots in the morning. Now go to sleep.
In the morning, we ran out to the pasture, but we couldn't find our white circus horse. We couldn't see him anywhere, though we saw the old mule. We ran all over. At last, we found him by the brook. He was lying on his side close to the water.
Billy, turn your head. Don't look.
But he had already seen. Our white circus horse was dead. He had been shot through the head. Billy ran to the house, and I walked by myself to the barn. I climbed up to the hayloft over the old barn where it was quiet and sweet-smelling like a church. And I lay down in the hay, and I looked up at the rafters where a bird was building a nest. I saw the mother bird fly in and out with a few wisps of straw for the nest she was building. Then I heard Billy climb the ladder. He climbed very slowly, like he was as old as Grandpa. He came and he lay down in the hay. It was very quiet in the barn, and it was just as still outside.
Billy?
I looked through the window. They were sitting in the kitchen, Grandpa and Pa. They were crying.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Judge Robert P. Patterson, former Secretary of War and President of Freedom House. Judge Patterson.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moving drama we have heard conveys a special meaning in this month of the year. The month when we celebrate the birthdays of two great Americans. Above all other Americans, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln personify our heritage of individual dignity and freedom, the birthright of Americans of every color and creed. This heritage, always rare and precious, is doubly so today, as in the time of Washington, and again in Lincoln's day, This country stands in the vanguard of man's struggle for liberty. We act in this leadership with humility. We know what crucial decisions must be made. We realize how much depends upon our wisdom. On the one hand lies peace and a more abundant life than the people of this earth have ever known. On the other, looms the ever-growing threat of total destruction. It is indeed a momentous period in our nation's history. Never before have we faced a greater obligation to extend freedom, to advance the brotherhood of man, both at home and abroad. On the world scene, one such opportunity is contained in the United Nations Genocide Convention. That convention signalizes a new era in international justice. It at last gives us the chance to outlaw the most dreadful of all crimes, the mass destruction of human beings. The Genocide Convention is now before the Senate for ratification. Americans of all walks of life are pressing for prompt action so that our country may set an example for other great powers to follow. Here at home, the same urge to reassert the worth of every man is reflected in nationwide movements to strengthen civil rights, to wipe out racial and religious discrimination, to ensure equality of opportunity for all Americans. On all sides, in employment, in housing, in education, in the exercise of citizenship, there are new avenues for positive action that invite your energies and mine. All of us, as parents, as employers and workers, as members of our communities and as voters, all must join forces in this great cause. And there is no doubt that together, by common effort, we shall succeed.
Thank you, Judge Patterson. Our eternal light drama today, The White Circus Horse, was adapted for radio by Morton Wishengrad from the story by Paul Marcus and was presented in honor of Lincoln's birthday. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The narrator was Betty Burghardt. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.